Sweetwater by Tremblings, excerpt read by Tsuki Nobara. They start out again the next morning before it's even really light, and Dean tells Sam that if he's going to be a freaky insomniac, then he can drive for a couple hours while Dean catches some shut-eye in the passenger seat. To the tune of Dean's snores, Sam can't help but think about him, about Dad, about all of them, about what they do. Sam remembers that story everyone read in high school about the prisoners chained in a cave, something by Plato or some other toga-wearing genius, and these prisoners, all they could see were shadows on a wall, so they started to think that was reality. Well, he thinks, in a way, that's what Dean's like. He's lived this life so long that he doesn't even realize how weird it is sometimes, how wrong it is, and how uncomfortable it makes Sam. And then there's Dad. When confronted with his father, Sam is enormously, embarrassingly grateful for Dean, who laughs at him and who punches him a lot, but of whom he is always certain. It has never been about the blood, this family. It has been more about the secrets and the vengeance, and Sam thinks that is one kind of seriously fucked up home life. Sometimes he thinks the weight of this whole revenge thing is a little too much, that maybe their hands are too full to get a good grip on proper familial love. But then Dean, who woke up a few miles back, grins at him and slugs him in the arm as a Volkswagen Beetle sputters by them, and he thinks that maybe it's just that they've had to learn a different kind of love, and that he can forgive them both, Dean and Dad, for an affection this rough, simply because it's at least there. But Dad's not there. Shut up, Sam tells his thoughts irritably. I didn't say anything, Dean replies, giving Sam a half-worried, half-joking kind of look. Are the voices back? He asks. Are they telling you to burn things? No, Sam says, his lip twitching a bit. You're the only one who ever tells me to burn anything. Dean gets a kick out of that. Sweetwater is a falsely advertised town. Dean can't figure out how Dante managed to overlook it. He and Sam have been making the rounds all morning, flashing their fake IDs and making nice with the locals, who all seem to smoke cigars and raise things with forefeet, hooves, and bad tempers. Dean hit the ultimate low when one of said things tried to charge him down, actually managing to get in a pretty solid headbutt, which Dean skillfully managed to catch with his lungs. It didn't kill him, but it sure fucked up his day. By 11 in the morning, that was a wrap on the rest of the day. It's dusk, and where they are now isn't improving things. This place smells condemned, Sam gags, as they ease their way down a steep slope into a nearly dried riverbed. Local legend has led them here, to the Sarah Jane Bridge, which explains Dad's cryptic note. I don't think it was this ghost chick, Dean gripes into his elbow, which is failing to block out the smell. I think one of those freaking cows fell into this toxic waste, mutated, and ate the kids. End of story. He's trying to breathe through his mouth, but that's almost worse. He can taste the nuclear sludge that way. I'll stick with the ghost idea, thanks, Sam says. I'm telling you, dude, those cows are evil, grumbles Dean, and Sam tells him to shut up about the damn cows for the 50th time that day. Dean goes on for a while, discussing the evils of bovines until Sam hisses, shut up, Dean, and he notices why Sam has stopped moving. He's staring at a woman, completely transparent, with slightly bulging eyes and a rope around her neck. She hasn't seen them, not yet. Sam gives Dean a meaningful look, and they start to back away slowly. Something breaks under Sam's heel, and she turns. Dean doesn't think it's fair that things should try to stampede him twice in one day, but that's what she does, shrieking and rushing at them. Dean doesn't know if she can hurt them or not. He's not sure of what her particular rules are, but he thinks he doesn't want to risk it. Sam yells, "Run!" And Dean thinks that's pretty solid advice. They scramble out of the riverbed and start to sprint once they hit flat land. As they make their escape, he decides he really, really, really hates Sweetwater, Texas. Well, Dean says, when they're back in their motel room and have showered 3 times each, it's pretty clear to me what we have to do. He puts on his hero face, which annoys Sam, so he quips, how to open a milk carton isn't clear to you, and Dean punches him. In Dean's opinion, there are very few problems, whether supernatural, personal, or national, that cannot be solved by a liberal application of gasoline and a well-placed match. He tries to convey this to Sam as he enthusiastically describes his plan of total burnination. The Sarah Jane chick, right? She hides her baby beneath the bridge because she thinks the Union Army's coming and then hangs herself back at her house. That gives us 2 places and a body. We gotta take out the bridge, the house, and the remains. If Dean had his way, he would burn all of Sweetwater to the ground and cook all their damn cows on the blaze. I don't think it's that complicated, says Sam, master assassin of fun. She just needs our help. The only thing I'd like to help this bitch do is self-destruct, Dean grumbles. Sam pretends not to hear him and says she's out looking for her baby, so why don't we just give it to her? No, Dean moans. No freaking way am I digging in that noxious river, dude. But later that night, of course, he's out there with a shovel and they're digging for baby bones. This being Sam's life, and Sam's life being what it is, these bones are no picnic to find. They're up to their hips in sludge, and they'll probably have sprouted tentacles or something by this time tomorrow, and he thinks just what they need in their family, more freakish things to hide. He swears viciously, and Dean looks up at him, surprised and maybe a bit impressed. "Hey, Sammy, that's not very ladylike now, is it?" he says, grinning in the way he knows Sam hates, and Sam heaves a shovelful of muck at him. "Dude!" Dean jumps back as if Sam had thrown hydrochloric acid instead, which isn't to say this stuff won't have the same effect. He says, "This is my favorite freaking jacket, man." Over his shoulder, Sam sees the ghost. "Don't look now," he says to Dean, "but I think we have company." Now it's Dean's turn to swear. Dean chucks his shovel and immediately starts to do what he does best, act like a complete idiot. "Dean, what the hell are you doing?" Sam yells as Dean starts charging off, drawing the ghost after him. "I'm buying you some time, dumbass," he yells back. "Find the damn baby." And then he's gone. Dean is reasonably sure that it's never been this dark anywhere ever in the history of the world. This is kind of a shame, because here in good old Sweetwater, Texas, where everything from the livestock to the displaced spiritual energies will chase you like you're in a goddamn fox hunt, nothing ever happens conveniently. Dean has no idea where the hell he's going, and he prays that Sam finds that dead baby quick. And this whole dead baby thing, all he can think about, everything that's in his head, is one of those damn sick dead baby jokes. He's so caught up on this dead baby thing that he doesn't notice the one bush in the whole damn arid desert wannabe county until he goes flying over it. "Ow, fuck!" Dean says, and he comes down hard, almost face first into the dirt. One of his arms has gone all tingly and weird, so he uses the other one to push himself up and tries to scramble to his feet, but the ghost is already in front of him, contemplating him with her freaky two big eyes. Shit. "Hey!" And goddamn, but Dean loves his baby brother as an infant skull comes flying over his head. The ghost catches it, smiles at Sam, and then disappears. Dean has to laugh a bit, because even the dead chicks like Sammy better. Sam skids to a stop at Dean's side, breathing hard. "Hey, you okay?" Dean uses his good arm to flash a thumbs up while he grinds his teeth and tries not to whimper. "I should kill you for doing this," Sam says. Dean bleeds a little on Sam's sleeve as he laughs and says, "I was trying to save you the trouble." Checking Dean into hospitals is always an exceptionally horrible experience. "It looks to me like you've broken your clavicle," the doctor says, running his hands over Dean's shoulder lightly. "And it hurts like a son of a bitch," Dean mutters, wincing. "The good news is," the doctor continues, either not hearing Dean or pretending not to, "that it seems like it's a clean break, so it'll mend well." "Did I mention," Dean says, louder this time, "that it hurts like a son of a bitch?" "All we can do is wrap it for now," the doctor says, and Sam wants to give him a medal for unflappability when he refuses to react as Dean growls, "I'm pretty sure I mentioned that it hurts like a son of a bitch." Say what you wanted about Dean Winchester. You could always count on him to put a little fuck you into your day. There is one cool thing about being a Winchester, Sam has to admit. And it's not that he's never bored, because he's never really thought boredom was all that bad. And it's not the knowledge of all those bump-in-the-night things, because really he doesn't want to know about those things. But it is pretty cool to just pick up and go. Their movement is of this world and the next, days falling into lines of their choosing. When they say it's time to roam, they do. Currently, they are roaming, and it's still a little bit awkward, but this is still the most historic reunification since Germany. Dean's in the passenger seat again, and he hates it, but he can't drive with his arm wrapped to his chest. What he can do, however, Sam discovers as he catches his own reflection in the rearview, is operate a pen. "You didn't," Sam says, which is, of course, ridiculous, as it is painfully clear that Dean did. Dean laughs and says, "What? You're the smart one, right? I think you look good with glasses." Sam thinks it would be wrong to punch Dean, injured and weakened as he is, and then Dean says, "Dude, if we were in Scooby-Doo, you'd totally be Velma." "My glasses! My glasses! I can't, son of a bitch!" Wrong or not, Sam really kind of enjoyed that.